Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
That's right. 5 o'clock fire. Clint Sterner in the show. The hottest stories in Houston. And Clint, I want to send a little respect to a Houston sports legend. Yesterday, although we're not on the air yesterday, but today, hell, we can still celebrate it. In 2007, the great Craig Biggio joined the 3,000 hit club, which put him automatically in the hall. He should have been anyway, but automatically put him in when he crossed that bridge. He is just one of 10 players to reach that mark playing for one team. Craig Biggio yesterday was the anniversary of him hitting his 3,000 hit. Was he one of your favorites, Clint? I know you've been an Astros fan your whole life. Was he one of your guys?
I like Beige. I tell you, my brother was a second baseman coming up, and so he was a big Biggio fan. So it was my brother's favorite player, for sure. I was more of a Bagwell guy. I had my stance. I tried to do the Bagwell stance. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hell,
if that'd mess with your legs. I was a pitcher, I would just stall on him.
Yeah, nah, you'd be all right,
in that squat position.
Nah, I was all right back in the day. So I couldn't do it right now. But back in the day, it was all right. And so, yeah, I was a little more of a Bagwell guy, Jeff Bagwell guy, than a Craig Biggio guy. But there's no doubt about it, man. When back in the day when we were going to games and when we did get a chance to go to a game, Craig Biggio was a hit, man.
That's interesting. I love Craig Biggio. Started out as a catcher and then moved to second base with the Astros. That is an interesting one. I wonder, because I bet you those two were the guys, the Killer Bees, always heal here and throw Bell into the mix too. But those two guys, it had to be one or another. That was my guy. That was your guy, Bell, Biggio, or Bagwell. Or Berkman later, yeah, came in. He was one of those two. But those two guys had to be one of your guys. And I wonder how many people out there, because I bet you there's some real arguments, probably the same in your house, as your brother was a huge Biggio guy and you were a Bagwell guy.
Some cool stories, man. You know, obviously, Art Howe was the manager, for the Astros back in some of Biggio's days. I can't remember the span of when they crossed over, but man, he had some great stories of Biggio and Bagwell and Caminiti back in the day, man.
So
you talk about, I mean, because I was growing up watching those guys. My parents didn't watch a ton of Oilers. My mom was a little bit of an Oiler fan. My dad was a Cowboy fan, and so the house was always torn on NFL Sundays. But baseball, boy, it was all Astros, and those guys were definitely right in the heart of it. But anyway, Art Howe. So I got to play in a golf tournament a couple years ago. With the Houston Sports Hall of Fame and played with Art, and man, his stories were unbelievable. Having grown up and watched and idolized to a certain extent those guys, man, getting to hear stories from their manager was super cool.
Yeah, whenever I think of Craig Biggio, I think of toughness and just hard worker. That's just what it seems like he comes to me. This is 5 o'clock fire, Clint Sterner and the show.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, coming up next, man, more news from, I think one of the greatest guys in the league. Monday, Clint, Romeo Crennel, he's now the head coaching assistant with the Texans and still helps out Bill O'Brien and Anthony Weaver. But he was selected as the winner of the Paul Dr. Z. Zimmerman Pro Football Writers of America Award for Lifetime Achievement as an Assistant Coach. Joe Bugle won it, which was started six years ago in 2018. Romeo Crennel it's like a special assistant award, and he is one of the best assistant coaches that the game has ever seen. So congratulations to Romeo Crennel.
Yeah, big time, man. The in my time covering the Texans, this is not a obviously he's probably not real proud of this accomplishment or but man, the way he handled the injuries last year for this football team and allowed the Texans to go win 11 games, that was impressive, man. I mean, there's no reason at all that the Texans should have even been in games when J.J. Watt went out, Bradley Roby was out, Lonnie Johnson missed a game, Gerrion Conley wasn't even here yet. They had just bounced what's the young fella's name that was the slot corner that gave up the hitch against New Orleans? And
in game one, he was out of there.
They bounced him out of there. Golly, man. I mean, so there was just so many injuries to the defense that what an admirable job he did. I'm sure he didn't want to go out on that note, but obviously he's a great. He's an all-time great defensive coordinator.
Over the years with the Giants and Bill Parcells, and then he was Belichick's, one of his right-hand guy. You could always see it was Belichick, Charlie Weiss on the offense, and Romeo Crennel on the defense. And I'm telling you, man, he's such a good man, Clint. I had the honor of catching him while he was in Kansas City as an assistant, and then he later became the head coach. And the players loved him. You remember when Aaron Rodgers and that Green Bay team was they were like, I think they were 14-0, 13-0 or something like that. And they came into Kansas City, and it was a rough year for the Chiefs. And they put together a game plan and stopped their undefeated streak. And you could tell how those players cheered and loved him and got him actually hired to become the head coach. Now, it didn't go well then, but actually hired him to become a head coach. His players seemed to always, always love him.
Yeah, you could tell. I mean, you can tell now they love him. You can tell when J.J. Well, hell, you can talk now when Anthony Weaver, the new defensive coordinator, when he speaks about the people that he respects the most and that he learned the most from on the defensive side of the football. Romeo Crennel is always one of them. And so, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it. When it comes to respect around the league as a defensive coordinator, as a defensive coach in this game, in the NFL game, Romeo Crennel is at the top of the list.
Congratulations to Romeo Crennel. And we shout you out right here on Clint Sterner and the show during 5 o'clock fire.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, man, we finally got it. More heat coming. We finally got it. The Rockets and their schedule, they open up against the Mavs. And it'll be on TV for everyone to catch. It is one of the feature games. They open up against the Mavs July 31st, Friday night. And they have a pretty good schedule to move their way through. They do play the Bucks and the Lakers. And my question to you, Clint, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but if they beat the Lakers and the Bucks, would that change how you feel, understanding the process, but would that change in any way how you would view this team's chances in the playoffs?
Hell yeah. I mean, the way they beat the Lakers the first time, and I know it's a regular season game. It was midseason. In the big scheme of things, it didn't mean anything to the Lakers, but ultimately they were still out there, and there's no doubt about it that the Rockets were – their small ball was a problem for LeBron James and for Anthony Davis. And so, yeah, I mean, hell, if they were to beat them in an eight-game stretch here, yeah, either one of those teams, if they get a W, I think it's a statement win, sure. Anytime you beat a team that's a one seed and – got those kind of superstars on it, yeah, that's a big-time win, yes.
I think the circumstances probably will matter, like how much the Lakers and the Bucks are giving in the games because they pretty much have their seeds sold up. But they're pretty early in the process. They're like games 3 and 5, and I think they'll come out and play a good amount, the Lakers and the Bucks. But to me, the reason why it would be a big deal to me, and I would look at it differently, because I think it would give the Rockets big confidence. I think it would give them a confidence boost. And, hell, you played in sports. Sometimes that confidence boost, no matter who it is you played against, whether it's an Alabama of Saban or an Alabama that's down, you get a confidence boost of beating a certain team. That could boost you. And to me, if that is something that boosts the Rockets, hell yeah, I would look at them different.
Yeah, look, I'll say this to I'm blue in the face. My junior year when we beat Alabama 42-6, it was an eye-opener. We won a couple of games and got a little rolling. When we beat Alabama, it was like, whoa, we may be pretty good. We may have a chance after all. So, yeah, those kind of victories are huge. So, you talk about the schedule, man. I mean, this is beautiful for fans, though, right? I mean, you draw the top two. So, you get to see them, regardless of what they think of the game, you're going to see them versus Milwaukee and L.A. You're going to get to see them versus Dallas and San Antonio, both the other two Texas teams. And then everybody outside of that, you know, they got a pretty favorable schedule that's manageable that they should, at the very least, hold the sixth seed, if not improve one or two seeds. So the Rockets got a good pull. They should be able to build some momentum that you're talking about showing this eight-game stretch. And if they do beat one of them top dogs, absolutely, hell yes, it's a motivator and it's a feather in the cap, yes.
Yeah, I love it. So the schedule is out. Get ready. July 31st, Friday, Rockets, Mavs, an important game so they can continue to climb up in the seeding. And you're listening to Clint Sterner and the show doing 5 o'clock fire, baby.
5 o'clock fire.
Clint, and I know our producer Bridget's going to lose it here. Coming out, man, Johnny Manziel, a.k.a. Johnny Football, a star at Texas A&M. He spoke in an interview over the weekend in Lubbock, and he said he's at the point where he is ready to concede that his football career is probably in the past. He said, I would probably say it's in the past. That's the way I'd characterize it, he told reporters with the Lubbock Avalanche Journal. Damn, man, I was hoping that he would make it in the league, kind of in a way that I've been a fan of Baker Mayfield, because I want a quarterback that has a lot of that swagger and questionability, if that's a word, to work. I was hoping that would work, and it was so much fun watching him at A&M, but it sure as hell did not work.
I tell you, Show, I've had a tough relationship with Johnny. One of my favorite all-time college quarterbacks of all time, ever. One of my favorite. And I wanted it to work. I thought, you know, when he came out, I wanted the Cowboys to draft him. And they didn't, obviously. Smart, wisely, they did not. Stephen Jones convinced Jerry Jones to not make that move. And even after that, I thought, hey, man, go to Cleveland. This kid's got a chance. And the reason I hung on, Show, is because all the naysayers out there were hating on him hard. And he made it easy to hate on him. But not one time did a teammate ever come out and bang on him publicly. They may have behind closed doors, but publicly, not one time did you ever hear a teammate come out and question him at all. In fact, when you watch games, there's no doubt about it, they were all bought into Johnny Football. They loved the dude, right? So I thought, hey, don't matter what it doesn't matter the old coach speak, doesn't matter what happens outside the locker room, doesn't matter. I thought, man, Johnny's going to get with the right team. He's going to rip it up in the league. And then I just realized I was flat-ass wrong. And I'm stubborn, so I held on to it, and I kept hoping Johnny would make it. And now I read this, he's ready to give it up. I guess I just got to eat crow. I just got to admit I was wrong, man.
Yeah. I mean, that's the sport. Hell, you know, the quarterback position, most people are wrong, right? Like, it's a crapshoot.
I don't miss the boat like this, though. So I was all in on Johnny, bro. I missed this boat like, man, I missed it big time.
I'd admit to you, I thought he could hang in the league. Like, maybe I didn't think he was going to be a star, but I thought, like, this is what RG3 is doing. I thought that's what he could do. RG3 played, had some good years, and RG3 has had a catastrophic injury. But he's good. Like, RG3 is going to be a backup and be able to roll in this thing another 5-6 years. I thought that's what Johnny would be able to do. And, nah, man, he just can't. He can't stop being Johnny.
Yeah, that camera, man, that there's some of them that can't survive, man. It's hard to live life without that camera in their face, and it's a rude awakening when it doesn't happen or when it quits happening. So I think Johnny had some demons, obviously, man.
Hell yeah, he did.
But damn it, I just, damn it, Johnny, you let me down.
Yeah.
You let me down.
Football has lost Johnny Football. Damn. When they gave him the sport as his last name, boy, you thought you had something.
Mm.
Not too much. All right, there is a player that people keep comparing Cam Newton to that is really starting to get under the skin of Clint Sterner. We'll get into that coming up. All right, welcome back in. Clint Sterner and the show here with you till 6 o'clock. And now that we got this Cam Newton story, and so many things come off of it, Clint. Like, so many things come off of it. And then in a story like this, there's got to be casualties, I guess, right? People got to take shots to bring someone else down, to discuss somebody else. And one big comparison that has come out is we keep hearing, look how much money Chase Daniel is making, the backup quarterback. I don't even know who he's backing up for. Is he back with the Eagles? I think he is. The backup quarterback, Chase Daniel, and he's making – the big thing I've seen, Clint, is Chase Daniel is making more than Jameis Winston and Cam Newton combined this season. And he is someone who has continued to be compared to including professional football players that are comparing – those two, and has been able now to take shots at Chase Daniel because of the contract he's making and saying he's not as good as those players. And I know this is irritating the hell out of me.
Yeah, it just chaps my hide, man. It's one of those where, like, Chase Daniel has made $30+ million being a backup, right?
Good hell.
What is the value of a backup quarterback is not, like, talent. Once you get beyond just being able to throw the football at an NFL level, like, talent is it falls down the list of things that are required of a backup quarterback in terms of priorities of what do you want that guy to do? What do you want a guy came in the league, backed up Drew Brees under Sean Payton? Learned a ton, obviously. I've been under Sean Payton before. Obviously, Drew Brees is one of the greatest of all time. There's no doubt about it that the value of what winning football and winning offensive football is about, he learned a ton there. Then he goes to, I believe, Kansas City under Andy Reid. Then he goes to Philadelphia, I believe, under Peterson. I could be wrong on my years there.
Doug Peterson for a
year. Then he goes to Chicago under Nagy, which all of those are Andy Reid disciples. So essentially, he had Sean Payton and Drew Brees, and then he had Andy Reid and Andy Reid's tree, so to speak.
Yeah.
So everywhere he went, he was able to immediately run the second huddle without any coaching supervision, without anything. Knows the playbook inside and out. Young receivers, I got you, coach. I got them. Boom. Tell them everything that they do. Young offensive linemen, everything they do. Young quarterback, if he's in a system with a younger quarterback, Carson Wentz, I believe, was there. Not real sure everybody after Drew Brees, who all Trubisky was there obviously the last couple of years. We didn't help him much. But the point
that
is
that wasn't Chase's fault.
I can't blame that one on Chase.
No, that wasn't Chase's fault. That was Maserati Mitch at his finest. Don't call me Mitch.
But
anymore.
Show the why it bothers me so much is, like, you just hear people that are paid to do radio or do, and I'm talking about former players, by the way. I mean, it's one of those that, like, you're paid to do TV, you're paid to do radio. I mean, please, can we at least understand, like, and you don't have to say it's more valuable, but understand the value of a backup quarterback and what you need that guy to do on a daily basis. It's not be the best athlete on the team. It's not be able to throw the ball 80 yards down the field. It's to do all those things I just mentioned on a day-to-day basis when your starter's healthy. And if the starter goes down, I can trust you to go in the game. You know the offense like the back of your hand, and you at least get me in and out of the huddle, and you get me to the next game. If you've got to play 4 or 5 games, do what Teddy Bridgewater did last year and get us. Did he win 5 straight?
He won 5-0.
5-0, and then he moves on and gets a big deal. The backup quarterback is not just – you don't just sign a guy – and go, yep, Kaepernick was in a Super Bowl, and Kaepernick can throw the ball in the park. He's ideal for my backup. I'm not saying that Kaepernick shouldn't be in the league and should not have been in the league before. But I'm saying it is a stretch. It is a major stretch to go, Kaepernick should be on a team right now today. Somebody should sign him and make him their damn backup because he's been to a Super Bowl and he's so talented. And people think, like, Cam Newton's on the streets, doesn't have a job. All these bums around the league got a job. I mean, Cam Newton needs reps. Cam Newton is not a very polished passer. Cam Newton, if who was in Norv Turner, if he went to a Norv Turner offense, down, you know, somewhere Norv Turner went, hey, I completely understand it. Knows it like the back of his hand, can do all those things we just talked about. It's just not, this isn't a Kaepernick deal. This is not a Cam Newton deal. This is not a Chase Daniel. My point is, I wish people that talk quarterback play around the country would quit talking about the backup quarterback like you should just go sign the most talented guy out there. That's not the case.
Because this is passionate for you, Clint Sterner, in the show with you. This is passionate for you because this is how you made it in the league.
Yeah,
this
I mean,
is,
it's,
this
it's,
was what, and you have firsthand knowledge of what it means and what it takes.
Yes, so I'm telling you, man. I mean, if the guy that can be an extension of the coach and the extension of the starter and accepts that role and thrives in that role is a very valuable guy, man. There's a reason why Teddy Bridgewater made $7 million last year as a backup. Right now, I know he had some options before that, but there's a reason he went back and made $7 million. There's a reason why Chase Daniels made 30-plus million is because he's a very polished passer. If he were 6'4", he'd be starting in the league. He'd have started in this league for years. But he's a smaller guy that doesn't have the biggest arm, but he can come out, he can get you in and out of the huddle, he can make all the throws without a ton of reps, and he's smart as a whip. He knows the offense. When I went to Miami, Troy Aikman picked the phone up and called Norv Turner and said, hey, man, I don't know if you got a guy or not, but I got a guy that I know 100% can get you in and out of the huddle. He knows your offense like the back of his hand, and he'll limit the mistakes. Boom. I was with the Dolphins, right? And there was guys all over the place more talented than me, but they couldn't do what they could not do and bring to the table what Troy Aikman saw that I could bring to the table and why he picked the phone up. That's just an example of, I mean, the NFL is a business, and the backup quarterback has a specific skill set, and it's not always just the best guy out there. I admit, if you're looking for a starter, Chase Daniel ain't the guy. Cam Newton's the guy. Kaepernick would have been the guy 2 years ago. And, you know, there's guys out there that are more talented. If you're going to invest 95% of the reps and the attention on them, then so be it. But there's a place in this world for backup quarterbacks, damn it.
Okay, go calm down now, Charlie. No, there is. Like, I don't think running.
Did you just
now,
call me Charlie?
Yeah, calm down, Charlie. There are some bad backup quarterbacks. All right, like oh God, who was the kid? Is it Tyler Bray from Tennessee? He played at Tennessee. He was terrible.
I didn't know. Well, hell, God, I didn't even know he was in the league.
Yeah, man. I remember he was throwing a go route. He's not in long now, but he was with the Chiefs and the Bears for far too damn long. Right, I'll never forget. Man, he almost hit me on an out route. as I was covering the team far off the sideline and just nearly hit me in practice. Like there's some bad guys running around. I don't think this is a place where you run down Chase Daniel. Chase Daniel, even though he went to Missouri, and I hate that school, and I football hate his guts, he is not a guy that you take out in terms of run him down. He's a really, really good backup quarterback. He's a guy that has in countless times come in games, and Clint, sometimes he has looked better than the starter, Mitch. Sometimes he has looked better than the starter at times, so he is not one to come at with. But in my mindset, and I think this is probably where people who maybe cover the game that hasn't played football or been a backup quarterback like you have, looking at it from the standpoint of, man, I know they don't get reps. And none of them get reps. But, dude, can I get a guy that can be that's ultra-talented or at least talented, and a guy that can maybe make something out of nothing and do some things, because the timing with the receivers are going to probably be off. Hell, the offensive line may block a certain way where it's so different from the starter that it could lead to issues. And timing and all of that stuff, like, let me get a guy that can make something out of nothing. Let me get a guy that can make plays and doesn't always have to be Tommy. Because right now, if you ask me who would I want if I needed to go into the game, Chase Daniel or Cam Newton, I would take Cam Newton every time. And I don't care what offense it is. And I'm someone who acknowledges how good Chase Daniels is at. Dang it, I did it. Chase Daniel is as a
there's
backup.
There's an S on the end of it.
No, it's not. It's not. I know it. I've been crushed many a times for calling that man Chase Daniels. It's Daniel, and I hate it. It's just so stupid.
Damn, Google got me.
It should be an S. Yes, it should be an S on there. I've been for years, Chase Daniel. But no, I would pick him. I just, the talent to me, and I understand where you're coming from, but I think that's why some people would look at, nah, man, let me get the talented dude that can do it.
Yeah, show it. There's no doubt that you go, okay, if I needed somebody for more than two or three games, would I like to have Cam Newton? Yeah, I would. But the fact of the matter is the value of that guy, like when he was backing up Drew Brees, he was far more valuable for the 95 games that he backed up. He was far more valuable throughout the week than he ever would have been if he had to play four games or five games. It's the value during the week. Like Cam Newton's not going to go to a team for $1 million or $2 million a year and go, hey, man, here's the scout book. Go over there with the defensive coordinator. This is what you're going to do every day. You ain't going to compete for a starting job. Your ass is going to go over there, and you're going to service our defense. And
that
I need you to throw the football wherever the red circle is on that card. Don't go run around. You do exactly what that defensive coordinator tells you to, and I need you to love every minute of it over there. Cam Newton ain't doing that. Kaepernick that won a Super Bowl ain't doing that. And that right there is the backup quarterback is so extremely valuable in for both sides of for your offense and your defense in a prep leading up to game day that it's not as easy as everybody makes it out to be. I hate the general comments of, oh, this quarterback's over here, he's a bump. Yeah, but let me tell you what he's doing. He is helping that team prep in a way that Cam Newton just ain't going to. It's not that he can't. It's that he's not going to do it.
See, Kaepernick is if he really wants to play football, then he's going to have to do that because he's not starting in anybody's league right now. That's just not happening. Cam, I get that part of it. That one is hard to change and do what like Kurt Warner did with Matt Leinart in Arizona and just sit back and be that guy.
It's tough.
That's tough when you're an MVP and you're a Hall of Famer. That happened.
Man, it's tough as a competitor. It's I couldn't imagine how tough it is for a guy that took his team to the Super Bowl or a guy that was an MVP for crying out loud.
Or a guy that probably sat out there as a Kurt Warner and watched Matt Leinart every day in practice and said, I'm better than this guy.
Right. You're right. So it's hard to walk over to the other field and service the defense when you're watching that kind of crap, right?
Yeah. I want to continue this. The listeners on the other side, everything you're saying, because to me it sounds like, Clint, you're saying Chase Daniel was perfect for Drew Brees. Teddy Bridgewater was perfect for Drew Brees because you can put them in and they can run the system just not as good, but the same type of system because they're similar quarterbacks to Drew Brees. When I hear that, it makes me wonder, do the Texans have a bad backup? Let's get into that coming up on the other side. That's right, Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Hughley with you till 6. And we were just discussing this about just people comparing Chase Daniel to Cam Newton and really just taking Chase out because he's gotten a job and turned this backup quarterback thing into something beautiful. Now he's made damn near $30+ million is with Detroit now. And just in that conversation, Clint, you were bringing up man, style, scheme, and finding guys that can do all of that and do the same so you'd have to change everything so much. We're seeing it. Hell, we saw it come to fruition with Teddy Bridgewater, who's a very similar style quarterback as Drew Brees, and they want 5-0. We're seeing what Baltimore is doing. They bring in RG3 as the backup to Lamar, and then even Todd McSorley from Penn State, the quarterback, a mobile guy that can run a similar system. They're doing it all the way through. With that, Clint, Deshaun Watson's the starter for the Texans, right? And A.J. McCarron's the backup. That don't seem like the same skill set to me.
Oh, it's not.
That don't seem like they're following that trend and that they have – a good backup for what their scheme should be from what their starter.
Oh, it's not. It's not. I mean, there's several. I mean, we get into the Texans talk. It's to me. You know, I'd like to see the Texans commit to more Deshaun Watson style of stuff with Deshaun Watson as a starter. So getting to the backup is a whole different story. But yes, I mean, to answer your question, Show, I would love to see this offense take the next step in terms of the RPOs, the quarterback plus one runs, the zone reads, the playing with tempo. I would love to see that happen, and I would love to see them have a backup that if that were to happen, they could continue to do the same things. Now, I do believe that when you look at, as I said earlier, with if the Patriots do all out commit to Cam Newton, which you have to if that's the route you're going to go, it would be easier to then, if Cam Newton got hurt or if it didn't work out, it would be easier to shift gears to back to the old style of pass protecting and spinning the ball around the park a little bit in terms of the smash mouth run game that you would need to do. So I think it would be easier, Show, to go that direction than it is to go the other, to just all of a sudden insert Cam in and ask Cam to do Brady things. I think it would be easier to go from Cam to Jarrett Stidham, if that makes sense. So when you look at it in Houston, it'd be a whole hell of a lot easier to go from Deshaun Watson to A.J. McCarron and just run Bill O'Brien's offense. Run what you've been running. The problem in Houston is they hadn't figured out the starting quarterback. They haven't wholeheartedly committed to what it is that he does really, really well.
And I sure as hell hope that them not maybe turning this thing more over to the talents of their starter, I sure hope that doesn't have anything to do with the fact of, all right, we know the system we have with A.J. McCarron, and we don't want to make it drastically different from when he comes in, so we're just not going to change it that much. We're going to put in a couple of quarterback sweeps that we know we would never run with A.J., but not completely commit to the style in the way that the Ravens have, or in the way that, you know, like, hell, the Saints have in the way they run offense. I sure hope that's not the reason why they haven't added.
No, hell no. This is a Bill O'Brien, and it's the cloth that Bill O'Brien's been cut from since day one with Brady to what was the big tall kid at Penn State?
McGroin. No, Matt McGloin.
Didn't he have
Shea Hillenbrand?
He had the big tall kid. Yeah. Man, what was his name? He was number one player coming out.
Christian Hackenberg.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think that's who he had. But nonetheless, it's irrelevant. They were pocket passers that were in that mold of sit in the pocket, you know, work the pocket, drive the football, you know, get the football out where it needs to go and move forward. And that's the way you win ball games. Limit your mistakes. You know, that's just Bill O'Brien. That's the way that Bill O'Brien has always won football games. And I've said it for 2 years. How Bill O'Brien ends up meshing with Deshaun Watson is going to determine how far this organization can go. Bill O'Brien can win the division, and he can win 10, 11 games with whoever you want to throw out there, with Hackenberg if you want to. I mean, with A.J. McCarron, I think he can win 9, 10 games with that guy. The X factor is Deshaun Watson and winning in the AFC and winning a Super Bowl. That's the difference. Deshaun Watson is the guy that can take you over the top. Bill O'Brien's proven that he can win with your pocket passer that distributes a football. The question is can Bill O'Brien and Deshaun Watson continue to mesh? There were flashes last year. There were several flashes of a lot of good. The question is can it grow and be more consistent this year?
Clint Sterner and the Show here with you. I'm truly wondering this out loud because I obviously don't have any.
Well, it's dangerous.
I obviously don't have any experience being a quarterback of the National Football League. But what in my mind, I think these guys get paid a ton of money, the coaches, the players. And they're mostly really, really smart group of guys that you think can handle a lot. How difficult is it to have Deshaun Watson as your quarterback and just have an offense set that absolutely pushes all of the great things that he can do, and then have an offense that pushes the great things that A.J. McCarron could do. I'm sure, or maybe let me check that, the good things that A.J. McCarron could do. Maybe some of those things cross, but how hard is it to have, you know, two offenses? It feels like you see that in college happening. Like, I remember the one that comes to mind, I don't know why, like 2007 or whatever, maybe earlier than that, Florida had Chris Leak, and they had Tebow, and they had just two different sets of offenses for those that Urban Meyer had. Like, how hard is that to do in the NFL? Is that something that coaches just don't want to do? Or?
Yeah, I think it's very hard when you're doing it because you've got different skill sets. I mean, hell, you have a hard most of these guys have a hard time, and it's a very difficult job. I'm not disrespecting anybody. It's a hard job to get one guy ready, much less two guys ready. It boils down to, it's not about having a playbook. It's not about having a skill set. It's about what do you do on a daily basis. You only have so much time in a day, and what do you do on a daily basis? And if you have Deshaun Watson and you spend 95% of your time doing Tom Brady types of things, then you're limiting how you're not showcasing
his skill set.
Deshaun Watson's entire skill set. So why the hell have him, right? The other way, if you flip it, if Deshaun Watson, if you really tailor things to Deshaun Watson, or you really tailor things to Lamar Jackson, or you really tailor things to the more Cam Newtons, the more athletic quarterbacks, my man Josh Allen in Buffalo is one of them. Yeah. It's easy. It's very easy if one of those guys go down to come back and go, okay, now the playbook shrinks to, like, take all the Deshaun Watson, or a lot of the Deshaun Watson run game, move the pocket, the plays that were specific to Deshaun Watson, take those out, and now let's go play our first couple of weeks with McCarron with 65-70% of the offense, right? Because they're running the same pass plays. It's just the add-ons. It's the little ones and twos here. And so it's easy to go that direction. The problem is when you're square peg round holing it with a guy that's got exotic types of skill sets that can do different things, and you're keeping him in a bottle and not showcasing those skill sets. That's the problem. We're talking about a different scenario, I guess, here when you talk about New England and you talk about Houston. Houston is one to me that they're still trying to figure out how to get away from the square peg round hole. They're still trying to figure out how to play with tempo, how to adjust the offense so that Deshaun Watson, like I tried to say this one time, and I don't think it came out right. Like, if I were quarterbacking, like, and you were the play caller, so you don't have, like, the quarterback read game is not going to be any good because I can't threaten that force player. The threat of me, Clint, running the football was never going to make Myles Garrett check up. It was never going to make – what's my man – what's the outside linebacker that came from Oakland to Chicago?
Khalil Mack.
It ain't going to make Khalil Mack check out. Jacob Martin ain't going to worry about me. He can retract and catch me. And so, hell, there ain't no sense in having that in the playbook. When you look at Deshaun Watson and you go, now they got to account for him. Now it's a great scheme to run. If it's me or A.J. McCarron, you don't need it. It ain't going to work.
No, but just like the other way, with McCarron, you'd probably have a lot more timing,
yes,
precision, pass,
yes,
plays than
ideally,
you would with,
yes,
Cam, because,
yeah,
it's the strength he does. Like, I don't know, man. Maybe it is. I'm just sitting here thinking and listening to you talk. Maybe also for not just the quarterbacks, but the offensive line and the other members of the offense having to just learn two separate offenses. Maybe that's difficult. But if I'm Matt Nagy in Chicago, like, I just have two separate offenses because Mitch is just going to have – there's just certain limited things that Mitch Trubisky could do, and his legs are the best thing to me that he does, and that's completely different than Nick Big Hog Foles. Like, I would just have two different offenses for those guys to me if I'm really looking at how the best play to win.
Well, those two guys are similar enough to where you could add some of the QB run stuff with Trubisky, but what they need to do, when you got a backup that's got a nickname of Big Hog and he's won a Super Bowl, Man, yeah. Just turn the offense over to him. Just give it to him. I mean, your starter is Trubisky. I mean, come on.
But I'm just saying, if Nick were to go down and Mitch had to go in, like, that same offense to me doesn't work as well. If Mitch plays, I know you think I'm crazy. I'm not saying it should be completely this way, but if Mitch is in the game, it should be much closer to what Lamar does, because Mitch can't. I ain't gonna say that man can't throw, but he can't throw. and the best thing that he does is run. Now, he doesn't run on the level of Lamar at all. No one does. But it's the best thing he does. If you're gonna sit back and drop Mitch back 30 times, yeah, you got a problem. Because that's just not his game.
No, I agree wholeheartedly with you. Look, man, when you talk about Mitch, like, Mitchell Trubisky's the one that didn't even start except for 1 year at North Carolina, right?
Yeah, 1 year, got him in. Had him said, boy, he's better than Deshaun.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those deals where you always wonder. And I started 1 year in high school, so I needed somebody to give me a chance at one point in time. And there was a legit reason. I had a Division I, one of the best quarterbacks in the country. Was
they
starting
didn't draft
in
you
me.
Number two, though.
No. They didn't do that either. Yeah, but I mean, I had a legit story of why. I mean, I can't even tell you who the guy was that was starting in North Carolina before him.
I mean, he was a running quarterback.
Yeah,
I remember him
because they had that big running back with the dreads, and he had a couple of big receivers. But it's one of them deals where you just go, how does Mitchell Trubisky, with all the upside that he has, and clearly he's got some things that impress people, not just the Bears. I mean, clearly,
no, you're right.
He would have been a first-round pick either way it goes. Maybe not a top 10, but he would have been a first-round pick. How do you not start in college at North Carolina? Like, how does that happen? I mean, it's not hard to be a starter.
If you're at 3 years at North Carolina, yes. How did you only start 1 year?
How in the hell did they go, nah, Mitch, you sit right over here. I'm going to let this cat out here go. I mean, it's one of them deals where I know there's – I had a coach one time that coached him in college tell me that he should have been starting the whole time. And I was like, well, what's the holdup? You know, I was with him like, well, clearly – you don't
Larry
know
Fedora
something.
Larry Fedora wasn't out there just trying to lose his job.
Right. Let me play this other guy because he's not as good as Mitch. Yeah, that sounds like a great idea.
But no, it's weird because they got to the ACC championship game. Now we're going down North Carolina. They got to the ACC championship game, just got absolutely annihilated by Clemson. But they got this. They were winning, but Mitch couldn't. Yeah, you're right. Mitch couldn't win it, beat him out. And only started
well,
1 year.
Well, it's just show. It's not hard. And I know that everybody's situation wasn't like mine, but it's not hard to start in college. Like, once you get there, and like getting there is hard, but once you get there and everybody in that quarterback meeting room, like, you all can throw it, you know, you all can move around well enough. For the most part, you all got pretty good grades. It's like, okay, now what separates you from these other guys? Like, if you just – study your playbook, right? If you just get your grades right and stay your ass out of trouble and stay out of the streets, I mean, you'll separate yourself from half of the damn quarterback room immediately. I mean, how do you have all the gifted ability that Mitchell Trubisky had and start 1 year? And then, I mean, just it's one of those where it's – and I'm not saying Mitch may have the same story I had from high school. I don't know what his story is. I'm just saying it's definitely a red flag. Right, yeah. I mean, how are you talented enough to go in the top 10?
Two
overall. How are you that talented, but you couldn't beat a guy out in college that never played in the league?
That's what I was gonna say. It's not maybe not easy, but it sure should be easy if you went on to be the number two overall pick and had the damn Bears trade up against themselves from 3 to 2 to come up and get you, you know, in a draft. And that's the thing is. He was consensus as the number one quarterback. Crazy ass Mel said it. Todd said it. Mike Mayock.
What did he do? Did he get on a knee and throw it through the uprights from midfield or something? That's cute.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe he was doing the splits with it. But he did that. And people, and I won't even put Patrick Mahomes in this because we didn't know Patrick Mahomes was going to be this. But Deshaun had one of the best quarterback resumes we'd seen in college football.
Didn't he?
And beat the hell out of him head to head and looked better than him head to head. And like that guy went over. The last time we saw Mitch, he was losing to somebody. The last time we saw Deshaun, he was putting together back to back years of giving Nick Saban fits, who had a month to prepare for him. Like that was just weird. That was just That was just weird. Needless to say, they need two separate offenses for Mitch and
we went off in a rabbit hole there, but that's it. Yeah.
And the Texans could too. The Texans could, to me, they could use two different offenses too if they're gonna roll with these two.
I would have you're talking about, and obviously I don't know with him suing the league it would have ever happened, but I thought the Texans would have been a great landing spot for Kaepernick 2 years ago. I thought with Deshaun Watson being the guy, you got Cap's got to come in and not just being a stepping stone, but Teddy Bridgewater type deal where if you get some clock, you earn another contract. If not, you move on in the offseason. Kind of like Cam will do in New England. Best case scenario, Cam goes out there and balls, and New England's either got to pay him $30 million a year like Tennessee's doing Tannehill, or he moves on, right? I mean, that's ultimately best case scenario, or at least as fans, as football fans, as we see it, best case scenario for New England is if Cam Newton balls out and this time next year you're sitting around going, okay, well, where's Cam going to end up? Is he going to get 30 a year again? Is he going to resurrect his career and move on, or is he going to stay in New England? That's best case scenario. I don't think it's going to happen, but that's best case scenario.
Clint Sterner and the show. And, Clint, before we get out of here, a couple of things. The Lakers are finalizing a deal, and they're bringing in Mr. Soup himself, J.R. Smith.
Hey, I know you better hope that J.R. Smith doesn't hit a damn game winner against the Rockets, because I'm going to give it to you.
He's not going to.
Huh? Sure. Who else signed? There was somebody else up there the Rockets were considering.
And, I know Tyler Johnson went. They were considering Tyler Johnson. He signed with somebody else.
No, I saw somebody else, a big name guy, a bigger name guy that had just signed with somebody. I can't remember who it was, but the Rockets didn't get him either.
Yeah. The Lakers.
He wasn't a white guy. He wasn't a white guy, though.
He wasn't a white guy, which they need to do.
Come on, man. Come on, Daryl Morey. Hey, you got to find you a white guy.
Where's John Luer? I know he's available.
I don't even know who that is.
Somebody, yeah.
I still ain't believing that Isaiah Hartenstein got Afro German. He said black German.
That's what it is. Afro German. Black German.
I guess it could be. Either way it goes, I know this. He is whiter than all get out in a Rockets uniform. I know that much.
I tell you, it caught me, man. Caught me. I was right along with you. Like if he's black German. Then Chris Humphrey, he's got to be something with this.
I
got to
go home and look at Chris's hair. There's no way. Chris, I thought I remember that Chris had some Bubba. He's got some Bubba for sure. And his hair, he got the same hair Bubba got. What'd you say
little.
It was? What'd you he's, say it was?
I think he's a Minnesota white. It's a little different. Hey, real quick, man, I want to get this
Minnesota
up, man.
Wife.
I want to send a shout out to the guy that I ran into on the plane this weekend. Flying out. Man, there wasn't about 21 people on this flight, Clint. I get in, and I know it ain't that many people left because I see who's behind me. I get on, Clint. This man comes in and asks, can I get in? Trying to sit in the same row as me. We understand what we're dealing with on planes. Everybody's got to wear a mask the whole way. Everybody had enough room to have their own damn row.
What'd you hit him with?
I said, why? I said, man, he said, oh, man, I just like to get off as soon as possible. I said, dude, with everything that's going on, man, I feel comfortable when we can all have our own row.
You should have stood up and said, hey, yeah, let me catch the COVID so you can get to your next destination four rows quicker than you can if you sit behind me.
Yeah, I didn't stand up because he looked a little taller than me, and I felt like my intimidation was more in the seat,
right.
How I was seated.
You're filling that seat up?
I feel like when I sit, I look like I could come taller, but I'm not. Coming up behind us, Texans All Access, Mark Vandermeer, John Harris. For Bridget Falcone, beautiful job. Shout out, Tyler. Clint, excellent. I am Ron, the show, Hughley. And as always, Houston, we love you, baby.
When someone else instead of me,
be a cooler light, jump off in this pool.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.